Hey there, Caleb Wojcik here, and welcome to another episode of my podcast. In this episode, I talk with my friend Matt Giovannisi. He is an SEO beast. He knows so much about how to get a website, a piece of content, ranking on Google, on other search engines, mainly Google, but how to go through all of your blog, all of the content on your website, all of the pages, how to make sure that people that are searching for content like yours will find yours and it will rank well, and what you need to do to your archive, your years of content that you've put out onto the internet, and audit it, trim it down, make it better, and make sure that more people are going to see it. Because if you're like me, I've been blogging for 10 years off and on, blogging, quote unquote. So making written articles, podcasting, making videos, putting them on my website on CalebWojcik.com, and trying to get people to visit them, then join my email list, maybe check out my courses, click my affiliate links. That is one of the ways that I make money in my business. And it's not the main way. You know, my client work is a big part of how I bring in money. SwitchPod now is bringing in more money and taking up more of my effort and activity. But the quote unquote digital part of my business still brings in a couple to a few thousand dollars a month. And a lot of that's passive, because I've put a lot of content out on the internet over the years, a lot of YouTube videos, podcasts, blog posts, put them all on my website. Some of them rank, some of them keep getting views on YouTube or traffic to my website. And I want to take a look at this 10 years worth of blog posts, podcasts, YouTube videos, all this effort I've put into creating content. Now, someone that goes to my website, how are they even going to find all that stuff? So I want to get into the nitty gritty with Matt about what can I do on my website, or maybe what can you do on yours to get it to rank better, to get more people to find it. Because Google wants a very specific type of content, and they're looking at very specific things to make sure that your site is going to rank well when someone searches one of the terms that would lead them to one of your pages. So in this episode, I talk with him a brief history about what kind of web projects he's been a part of, because he's built up one to make over six figures in affiliate income a year, and how he's kind of navigated the years and years of putting content on that site, and what he does now to make sure that the website loads fast, that it ranks for the terms, that people click on the affiliate links, that they buy his products. All those things is what we cover in this episode. So if you're someone that's looking to get more traffic to your website, or just more eyeballs on your content, grow your audience, grow your income from the people that are visiting your website, this is an episode for you. Let's get started. So Matt, thanks for joining me. Can you give a brief history of just the different various like website projects that you've had over the years, and kind of which ones you're still working on, and how that kind of relates into our topic of what we're going to talk about today?
Yeah, thanks for having me. The first website is called swimuniversity.com. It's a pool care website. Technically 2004.
That's an old website.
It's an old website. Yep, that's when I bought the domain. I didn't actually start doing anything until 2006. So in between 2004 to 2006, I lost the domain. I had to buy it back for more money because I procrastinated. But yeah, so I consider 2006 when I actually started it. And that's the one, and it's the one I still work on today, and it's actually my flagship. It's the one that earns the most money. So that's what, 15? No, more than 15 years, right?
Yeah,
something like that. And then between there, I had a bunch of like little dumb things that I did. Like I started a website, like it's a social network for dogs called Dog Barks with a Z. So you know it's good. Then I got into that whole thing about like affiliate marketing. It's like, oh, you got to start a bunch of niche sites and see which one takes off. So I had a Crocs website. I had Crocs, not the animal. You know what I'm talking about. I had a snowboarding website. I had a home recording studio website. I had just a bunch of like little kind of like crap websites.
And you were trying to just get them to rank and sell stuff through affiliate links and stuff.
I was doing like, and Swimming University was like kind of still the flagship even during that time. And yeah, I did like a lot of Black Hat stuff because I was learning from these two guys who had a site called the Keyword Academy, which I don't think is a thing anymore. I hope it isn't. But what they were teaching us, and they were nice guys, they meant well, and this was how SEO was done for the longest time. And then in 2008 is when it like took a shift, you know, basically, what's like the panda, you know, or it might've been 2010 even, but they kind of shifted and all of a sudden they completely changed their tune. And all of a sudden, you know, here I am with like a ton of backlinks that I had built by writing like articles through Unique Article Wizard and, you know, just all these old school techniques of like basically just putting out garbage on the internet, mm-hmm. in an effort to build backlinks. And so, I did that for a long time. And then, you know, during that time, I had a bunch of other websites, but that was Swim University kind of like stood with me. And, kind of fast forwarding to like closer to now, I started a site called Roasty Coffee, which I ended up selling, which was another affiliate site that I owned for 2 years, built it up, sold it. And then that wasn't my intention, but I ended up selling it because I needed money. And also like I wasn't really into it as much as I want it to be. And I started moneylab.co, which is my kind of it was like I was always behind the scenes at Swim University and I had friends in the industry. And so I wanted a space to kind of talk about what I was doing. And that became Money Lab. And then I have a site called brewcabin.com, which is a home brewing site because I'm a home brewer. And I have a software product now called Lasso, which is a WordPress plugin for affiliate marketers.
So you've been building, growing, trying to scale, trying to get search engine traffic to all these websites because they're very targeted, each of these yeah. things that you've mentioned, where it's like Swim University is going to help people with their pools. It's, mm-hmm. you know, someone's going to homebrew. That's a very specific thing. But you haven't really tried to build like a MattGiovannisi.com. I'm like an expert in this thing and like grow an audience that way. It's like, yeah. let me find something I'm interested in, build up, you know, spin up a website about that thing. See if I can get it to rank, see if I can build a business behind it.
Yeah. And honestly, to be honest, Swim University is, I get this all the time because Swim University is a site that like people go, oh, what a brilliant niche you found. It's like, dude, I didn't find it. I was in the pool industry since I was 13 years old. Like that was my job. Like that's the reason I didn't go to college because I worked in the pool industry. And so it just became like, I learned how to design websites and I also had all this pool knowledge in my mind. And I was like, oh, let's just meld those two things together. And Roasty Coffee was probably the only one where I was like very interested in coffee. I wanted a coffee site. And so I started one. Homebrewing I've been doing for almost as long as, you know, website stuff. And so that was a passion. And then Money Lab is kind of like you could say it's the spot where it's like my make money online
yeah.
brand.
Yeah.
I mean, it literally says that I think on the homepage, but it's a tongue-in-cheek website, and I don't get any traffic through SEO. In fact, it's like it's so anti-SEO, that site. It never grows. It just kind of stagnates. But everyone knows me from it, which is weird.
And I feel like that's kind of what my website is. I feel like it's been this place that I've like put out content randomly for 10 years. It started as a personal finance website for a couple of years. Then I started talking about entrepreneurship when I was at Fizzle. And then I started talking about video and I've been doing that for like 5 or 6 years on the site. And there's just so much on there. I just looked before this and there's almost 500 blog posts on my website. And there's still blog posts from 2011, 2012 that are about personal finance. They're deep in the archives.
What was
the name of
that?
People can see your face. Pocket Changed.
Pocket Changed, yes.
If people could see your face when I said that there's 10 years of blog posts on my website live right now. So I know I'm not doing it right, like basically with my website. So what should I do with a website like that? Because I feel like most people that are listening probably just have tried to play like the content game. Like,
yeah,
you got to like put everything out there. You got to hustle. You got to like make a bunch of content. You got to get people on your website. And then it's like years go by and you're like looking at your archive and you're like, I spent so much time on this and it still doesn't help people as well as it could. And so that's what I'm trying to do with my website. I'm trying to make it like just better.
Yep.
So when someone shows up, they're like, oh, I have like a direction. It's like a choose your own adventure of like what problems you have, what are you trying to solve? And I feel like you do that really well on your sites.
Thank you. I don't think I do, but I think what I've done, and this is like this, I've gone through this iteration so many times that I feel I now know where I belong in the world, and my message is very clear, which is the way that I treat Swim University or any other site that I build is I treat it like a textbook. And you know, you don't get it's not like an encyclopedia. It's one textbook on a topic, and that topic could be math, or that topic could be, you know, whatever. I think having a site that has personal finance posts and video posts and whatever else in between you're going to have a problem with ranking for that. It needs to be focused, and it doesn't mean that you can't incorporate things into other things. But the reason I say textbook is every single year, college kids have to buy textbooks, and it's the same company making the same textbook just with updates every year, right? And so that's kind of the way I look at all of my sites, as they are evergreen and constantly updated, and I don't have to add a blog post every week. In fact, a lot of times, for example, Brew Cabin is a website that has, I think, 46 posts, and it gets about 60,000 visitors a month. And we have done zero backlink building. We've done zero new content in the last year, and it went from 30,000 to 60,000. Now, it's not a lot. It's not like a huge growth thing. Like, we're not like supercharged. But by doing nothing, just existing, that's how much it grew. And so I think I just come from a less is more approach with the site. And site audits are like one of my favorite things to do. And I hope that I would encourage you to start there.
How ruthless would you be during the audit? Incredibly. Yeah.
So I'll give you an example of how ruthless. I had a site, or not a site, I have Swim University, and I had a page on my site that was getting so much traffic. And it was because, and I did this on purpose, I wrote an article about having sex in a hot tub and how to clean it up afterwards and how to like be safe about it, you know, just kind of like a PSA, you know? And we ranked above Cosmopolitan and all these like, you know, sites that are like about sex. And it was just getting so much traffic. And not just that post, but we had another post that was getting a ton of traffic that was like the 15-minute pool exercise guide or whatever. And the goal of those posts were to kind of like have this bazooka gun approach of kind of reaching anybody who's thinking or talking about swimming pools, and hopefully 5 to 10% of those people would actually own one, and they'd go, oh, this site actually teaches you.
You're hoping the random dude that is trying to figure out how to have sex in a hot tub would also want to know what chlorine to use.
Exactly. and if you really sit down to think about it, you're like, wow, I'm pretty sure it was like less than 5% of those people actually owned a hot tub.
Yeah.
Right. So it was getting a ton of traffic though. And it's like, it's really hard to sit there and just hit the delete button on a thing that's getting you like 100,000, you know, visits a month. And it's just like, it was just so obvious that it wasn't a fit, and it was just inflating numbers. And it really, I mean, like I was selling, I think, condoms as an affiliate product. It was so dumb. It's just dumb. And so I was like, all right. And I deleted it.
So do you technically delete them, or do you do no follows or anything like that?
So what I do is I copy and paste all of the text and I put it in a Google Doc.
So you still have it.
I still own it. And the reason is because it's a guest post, right? I could give it to another site that can link back to me for providing it. Right.
Like Cosmopolitan.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, ooh, give me that juicy 70, domain rank. And so I do that, and then I will redirect it first. So I use Yoast, I used redirection plugin. It's completely free. And I'll just say, okay, is there another post on my website that is similar enough? Like maybe there's one about like a health thing. And if there's not, I'll just redirect it to the homepage. So it's like, when in doubt, just redirect to the homepage. So I'll redirect it first, so that way it's at least going somewhere. Mm-hmm. And then I will physically delete the post in WordPress.
And you just leave the redirect up indefinitely?
And leave the redirect up indefinitely.
Because eventually Google will be like, this isn't...
That's not there anymore. But it gives me at least, you know, that traffic that I was getting, it's going somewhere useful, and it eventually will die off. But it's not like I have a broken URL.
Yeah, because right? My highest trafficked through search web page on my site is a stupid blog post I wrote called 50 Inspiring Quotes to Help You Overcome... the fear of failure.
Yeah.
And it's from like the first month I was blogging in 2012. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, that one gets so much traffic. I don't, you know, you write enough blog posts, one of them's bound to pop and rank for no reason. So that has nothing to do with what I talk about. It has nothing to do with anything.
And it doesn't lead
to my products.
Right.
It doesn't. It doesn't have affiliate links on it. Like,
what could you possibly put there? Like,
I don't know, like scary movie links. Like, I don't know. Yeah.
A You Could Do It poster.
Yeah.
I would redirect. I would create the redirect. I would save the post, you know, on a Google Doc somewhere just to have it.
I don't care. It's just quotes. I could remake it if I
wanted
to.
Right. And then just
go to the Google or the website time machine, and I could always re-pull it up that way.
Yeah. I think the first thing, like, I read a book called Traction I'm not good at team building or like teamwork, like, you know, corny, I don't know, like just like exercises. I'm not into
it.
And so in the book, in the beginning, they kind of have this exercise of kind of getting very clear on what it is that your business does, like what it, you know, very specifically. And I was like, you know what? I'll do it. It was like they had workbooks in the thing. And I printed them all out, and I sat down with like me and three other people who kind of knew my business too. And we just sat there, and it just got very, 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 very clear on what we do. And really, like, I'm thinking to myself, well, Swim University is this, it could be grills. We could do backyard stuff. We could, you know, be the in, you know, we can do so much with it.
You could teach swimming.
You could literally teach people how to swim. And yet I was like, you know what? The two products that I have on my site are, and my background is taking care of a pool. And so I just decided that if a blog post is relevant to a person who may not own a pool, like if somebody who doesn't own a pool would read this, it doesn't belong on my site because they are never going to buy my thing. And it's just, I'm not going to pay for those idiots to subscribe to my website, and I'm not going to pay for that traffic from my hosting company. So I'm just like, I don't need it because it doesn't bring me any benefit besides having a huge ego with a high traffic website.
High numbers, yeah.
Yep. And that was it. And I feel the same way about, you know, email subscribers too. Like, if you're not opening my emails, like, I'm not paying for you to be on my list. So I did a content audit for all of my sites, but Swim University was like definitely took the longest. And I created a spreadsheet and, you know, exported every single post, put it in a spreadsheet. And I made three decisions on each post, whether it was either you're going to improve it, like it's already a good post, it just needs to be improved. It either needs to be consolidated, meaning it's a good post and it fits what I want to do, but the post sucks. And perhaps it belongs, like perhaps it's like one section of a bigger topic, and that section could literally belong in a post that's already doing well. And so it's like, I'll delete that, forward it to the new post, and then add that content in order to beef up other content, or the last one is delete. And, you know, all of the ones, and I it's all in one spreadsheet. And then when I delete it or consolidated those lines, I would take those lines and put them in another sheet just so I knew which ones I deleted and consolidated. And that, I swear to God, and I've heard this from I think Pat Flynn did it, and I think I heard it from Todd Tresseter, and I was like, you know what? I'm sold. This makes sense to me. And I did it. And I literally saw an increase in traffic by deleting things. And so whether it was deleting things or the idea of the consolidation part of it, where you're like taking posts that are like pretty decent and you're adding to them. And so now they're really decent because, you know, maybe you have a post that isn't ranking very well because, you know, it's a long tail keyword and it's like not many people are searching for it. But if you take that content and add it to something that is getting searched or maybe is like number three or number six, like adding that other piece of content to that post could bump it up to a number two or one.
So did you do it just to like oh, I just want to see everything I have and like try to repurpose? Or did you also just say like, okay, pretend like I had nothing. If I was going to make Swim University from scratch now, what are the key pillar posts that I would want to have?
No, I didn't do it that way. No, I did it. No, because it's like, let the audience dictate what my pillar posts are.
Okay.
You know, you could do that. Like I do have a couple of like what were, I don't know if I'd call them sneeze pages, but we have a couple of posts that are like obviously very pillar. Like we rank for pool maintenance, which is like literally the entire website's about pool maintenance. But one post is basically a giant post of links to other posts. Right. Yeah. So it's like it's like a kind of like a hub and spoke model where, you know, you have these like pillar pieces of content that kind of link out to other pieces. But I don't really look at it that way. I kind of look at it from a, you know, I think we started with like 400 posts and we're now down to like 190 or, you know, maybe a little bit more. So I deleted half the site and just, we kind of wrote the, like, we kind of have it. It's like, it's there, you know, and then things become pillar as you, you know, consolidate posts.
Yeah.
And, you know, then you might find gaps, right? Because you can use something like Ahrefs, which is the site that the tool that I use to do keyword research. You could, you know, look at content gaps between you and a competitor and see like, oh, they're ranking for this. We should have a post like that. And so then you prioritize making those posts and filling in the gaps that you don't have, which is exactly what we did. Like we consolidated everything first and then said, and then compared it to our competitors and said, okay, what are we missing? And then filled in all the holes we were missing. And now I feel like Swim University is a complete website. You know, part of what we're trying to do is like, every time I say this out loud, people go, oh, it's like a gasp. Like, what do you mean you're done? But yeah, I'm basically treating Swim University as a done site. And that doesn't mean we're not going to work on it. That doesn't mean we're not going to add new content. But we really don't think of it from a, like, this week we have to publish a new post. It's not like YouTube, right? Where you have to publish a new video every week. Like, you have to do it. You can't republish old. You can't go back to an old YouTube video and make it better. You just, you know, but that's, you're limited to what you can do there. WordPress doesn't work that way. No other, you know, building a website doesn't work that way. You can go back and you know, beef up old stuff. So every week we do something. It may just be completely refreshing an old post. It could be improving a post that we think like, and I can go deeper into this, like perhaps we need more internal links pointing to this because it's kind of like dipping in the ranks a little bit, or like it never really, like, you know, we maybe published it and it did okay. Like it got to like number 10 for the keyword we were intending for, but like it's kind of been sitting at number 10 for a while. And it's like, okay, this one needs some love, and that's our like content creation for the week is like, let's reevaluate that, you know, relook at the keyword in Ahrefs, and, you know, we still even think, can we consolidate? We do content audits every year now. They're not as like drastic anymore because I feel like we've kind of nailed it. But so we've kind of been hovering at around 200 posts for the last 6 years. Like we've not really gone over that. And it's because it's kind of hard to, because it's like if a new product comes out, okay, well, that's a product that probably, it's not a whole web page. It's probably a product that fits into a bigger post, you know, that can make that post even more epic or even better. You know, every once in a while you get a whole new industry. Like we're finding out, and this is super early and we're not even there yet, but there's a whole new industry of like Airbnb for swimming pools. And I'm just like, I don't see that taking off. That sounds like a real dumb idea because there's a lot of liability.
Right now. Yeah.
No, yeah, a lot of liability and just like, no. But if it emerges, guess who's going to be on it? You know, it's like, and that might be another thing we have to add to it. This happened, during quarantine, people were buying Intex pools, a lot of them. Like it's an industry that blew up, and we covered it from a, we had a lot of Intex content, but it was really basic. It was like kind of surface level, like, you know, Intex pool chemistry, Intex pool closing, Intex pool opening. Well, now it just opened us up to a whole new thing because like so many more of these pools came into the market. And so we're like, all right, well, now we have like a kind of a new handful of pieces of content to write that we didn't have before. And so that's what I mean. Like we consider it done, but it's constantly evolving. Like you know, we're not going to write the whole textbook from scratch. We're just going to add and change and like tweak here and there.
And I feel like that's where I'm at with stuff is I'm kind of doing the look at everything we've made, like what needs to go away, what can I like repurpose. But a lot of the content I make is so specific to a particular piece of gear or equipment or something like that, where it doesn't really relate anymore. Like maybe it's just old, but like maybe it, and like I just don't get the kind of search traffic where I feel like it even needs to be on my website. You know, it's just like that's where I come down to, like, what do I do with all of these posts other than, okay, how do I make the textbook of the website?
Yeah.
You know, like, how do I make the website that just teaches everything you need to know about video, mm-hmm. how to film yourself, the good audio, good lighting, editing. Like, so I'm trying to go in that direction of like, okay, I've spent years making content. Like, what if we tried something else? Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, maybe there's a lot of repurposing I can do, but those hundreds of posts don't have to be there.
No, and perhaps because you have a personal finance, like there are some things there that are valuable, and perhaps you decide to take an approach to, I'm going to teach other videographers like how to be good videographers in a business like sense, so that way some of that money stuff can apply or be repurposed into like, well, my target audience is people like me, people who are, they make money from their videography business. And if you look at it that way, all of a sudden those, you can look at those personal finance posts in a different light and just change some of the stuff and change the titles and descriptions and, you know, featured images or whatever. And now you, and perhaps create courses around those, you know, or take all that content and turn it into a course so that it becomes a product and not on your website. You know,
yeah. Yeah, I kind of wish I would have just not kept my same like content going. I wish I would have just spun off the personal finance stuff and just left it or something.
But
you know, just
I will
like,
say this though, like being in personal finance as a space, like if you're not dedicated to that as like a real business, like it's one of the most competitive niches you could be in.
Yeah,
right. Swimming pools, like no, in all honesty, like. It's not very competitive. And so I've been able to stay. Right. Same with homebrewing, like not a very competitive industry. But that one, it's kind of like being in the make money online space. Like you want to stay number one for affiliate marketing. Like you're working full around the clock, full time on making that happen. And I would also say like so I've been thinking a lot about, especially for a site like Brew Cabin. And I think this is similar to your site, which is like we've done you've done reviews of products that are like obsolete now, right? Or they're not, they don't be sold, they're discontinued or whatever. We haven't done any reviews yet on like product reviews on Brew Cabin, but that is certainly a place we want to go. We do have posts on Swim University and Brew Cabin are like top 10, you know, robotic cleaners, top 10, you know, brew kettles. Mm-hmm. We constantly, and then again, part of that whole textbook thing, we constantly have to switch, every year we switch them out. You know, it's a new thing. So, but for reviews, that's exactly the way I plan on treating reviews when it happens. If I review a kettle or I review a burner or some random like thing, that is a moment in time. And if it's still being sold, great. If it's not being sold anymore and the company is like out of business, I am probably going to take it down. Yeah. But if the company created a new model, I would go in and refresh that post with the new model. I would embed the new video. I would do all of that.
So it's more wire cutter where you're, you know, 100%. Best projection TV, best, I don't know, speakers, best mop, best,
yep.
Like anything
and
like that.
And you're constantly like rotating those and making, you know, you change the date. It's been updated. So now it's, you know, that it's like, it looks like fresh content all the time too. If somebody were to like literally subscribe to your blog, you know, it's the same post, the same like TV post on Wirecutter. It's just that you republish it every, you know, probably every quarter, maybe. I don't know. Maybe every year, like after CES or something. I don't know. So that's how I would look at it. Yeah.
And so before I go back and just like hide or delete like all these things that I've spent hours, you know, I feel like I'm attached to it. You know, a third party would come and be like, oh, these posts aren't helping you. This is actually hurting you on Google. You're not going to rank because you're talking about this and now you're talking about that and it's different. You know, but like the creator in me or someone that wants to like be able to point and be like, no, I did all this stuff. I've been blogging for 10 years or what have you. maybe there's just another way I can archive it, or maybe it just doesn't even matter and like nobody cares. I don't know. Like,
I mean, no, yeah, that's
you're
true.
Not my
no
therapist, but
right. No
I'm
one
gonna
cares.
Lay down on the couch for a second.
Yeah, I could do it. No one cares. That's true. That's the thing I had to learn. No one cares, but I get it. You know, you don't want to kill your darlings, and so that's kind of the way that I looked at it. Was I saved it into Google Docs, so it's like it didn't go away, and I
yeah, like print it in a book.
You could put it in a book. Good. I mean, that's not a bad idea. And or like spin it off into a new site. You know, if like you did say that, I'm saying that personal finance is difficult. I'm not saying it can't be done. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that, you know, it's just another thing you have to manage on a thing you probably don't care about in the first place, but you right. think you do. Right. So, you know, for me, the way that I guess tricked my brain into not caring is I went, well, these are good. These are good posts, man. These are like, you know. Yeah. And so I'm going to save those into Google Docs and I'm going to give them out to other sites so that they can get backlinks to my site. And I promise you that I've never done that. Like I said, I was going to do it. It sounded yeah. like a really good idea. And then I just was like, yeah, you know, months later. But I think giving myself the trick of like, I will do this, watch me do this. And then, you know, a couple, you know, and shiny object syndrome was like, I got something else to do, like, or the site's taking off, and so I don't really need the guest posts.
If I am working on a new post, let's say, or I'm consolidating a bunch of stuff, what are like, I know you did an episode on this on Money Lab, but I want to talk about it here. What are like the top 3 to 5 things that like are most important to get that page to rank and to get it traffic?
I think titling. And knowing the keyword you're going after. And I think this is the most important. And I don't know what I said on the episode. It could be totally different.
I think you started saying page speed was number one. And then you kept like lowering that it wasn't as important as you thought it would.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I do think page speed is crazy important. And that's a whole topic I can get into. I think that one of the mistakes that I made with Roasty and the mistake I made with Swim University. So there's like this gap in my life. Right. Where when I started Swim University, I was very keyword research first and I grew very fast because of that. And then I met Corbett, who we both know. And I was like, fuck SEO. Like this is like I could just come up with this shit on the top of my head and it'll probably rank. And he wasn't wrong. And it did happen. In fact, when I started Roasty and then just the same time as Swim University, we didn't look up keywords. I sat down in a room and I'm like, I want to, you know, what's the difference between these white filters and the brown filters? Or what's the like, why do we do the whole blooming of a coffee? Like, let's do our, you know, and it was just coming up with like things I knew about coffee. What's the difference between washed and unwashed? I didn't look up if these were good ideas. If I did any research, I kind of Googled them to see if I was using the right phrasing, the right terminology. Yeah. This is probably as far as I went. So we would produce an article every week to build that site. So we went from 0 to 100 articles in 2 years, publishing a new article every Monday based on my brain coming up with questions that I had and then things I knew, like we should do a how-to Chemex, how-to, you know, the basic stuff. And unfortunately, with that approach is you grow very slow because you are tackling a post like, how to French press. Good luck ranking for that. It's like one of the most competitive, you know, keywords ever. And so if you start with that, you're going to see very low growth. When I started Brew Cabin, we took the complete opposite approach. Now, Brew Cabin is an unfair comparison because everyone drinks coffee and not everyone homebrews. So the growth, you know, comparing the numbers would be insane. But if you look at the growth side of things, we didn't start with a post of like how to brew. We went into Ahrefs and we found all the websites that I liked in homebrewing, like looked at all of their websites and saw what keywords they were ranking for, wrote them all down with the difficulty, with the amount of searches they were getting a month, with, you know, what was ranking already. And then we prioritized that order in low difficulty, high search volume. So like one of our first posts on Brew Cabin was like about creating a yeast starter, which is actually like a sort of like advanced topic, but it was getting a lot of searches and not a lot of people ranked for it. And so we filled in what people were searching for, where a brand new site would have the advantage of ranking for it quickly because there was low competition. And then once we got, you know, because what that gets you backlinks, that gets you clout, that gets you domain rank, and then you could start going after the really big things. And you could do the really big things for your audience too. Like we, you know, we have a, you know, an article about all grain brewing now and an article about extract brewing, which much harder to rank for. But I think I did that prematurely because, like, I felt we needed it for the people who were finding us and asking, like, hey, where's this article? I want to know this. And I'm like, okay, like, we're basically going to sacrifice ourselves. We're basically saying, like, we're going to create this article knowing that we're probably never going to rank for it. But the people who do find us through the ranking post will absolutely love this and obviously could perhaps sell the products that we sell there.
So you're not writing the textbook chronologically.
No,
it sounds like. Yeah, because if you do that, then you maybe you start with all the basic stuff or all the most popular stuff. And that's not a great way to get your website to start showing up in search. If you don't have an existing audience, you can point to it.
Yeah, or and get feedback from, because you need those people. And we didn't, you know, you know, I wasn't, I remember you had a story, and I referenced it a lot when you were starting. I think it was when you were starting Pocket Changed, where you were like, I did 5 blog posts a week. Like, I was just like in the early stages, like I was just cranking content out.
I think I did a post every day for like 50 days.
Yeah,
even on weekends.
Crazy.
And like, one of those is the fear quote post that I probably ran out of ideas, and that's the one that ranked. Yeah.
Yep. But I think, you know, that's not a bad idea. It's just like, I think when, you know, during that time frame of blogging, just getting posts out was good. Yeah. Now I feel like it takes a lot. I mean, for SEO purposes, it takes a lot more planning. And I think the most important thing is the research, like knowing what you're going to write before you write it and doing the competition research, or just like looking at other posts that are ranking for that term and just seeing like what questions they're answering. You know, Google, if you Google anything, usually they have a box that says people also ask. Like, that is just fodder for an outline.
Yeah.
And so doing all that. And then I think, like, obviously writing it and being very good at writing is important. I think grammar does play a role. And then it's like, yeah, titling it so that it's, you know, you have to think of Google like it is a magazine. You know, it's like if you're in a store, like you have a limited space and limited time to catch someone's attention. So your headline better be catchy, but also like,
have the keywords,
you
know, in it.
Yeah, be search intent. Like if you search like what's a yeast starter, your article better be like everything you need to know about a yeast starter or whatever. And it's like, oh, this is exactly what I'm looking for. And the description better sell them too before they click it. And then your page better load instantly, look professional so that they know they can trust it. And then it better read well.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think, like, I've talked to I remember Morty over at Rank Ranger put this idea in my head, which was, you know, Google now, and they know that they're coming out with this. They've just announced they were coming out with like all these new ranking factors that they're like putting into it. But basically, like, they're profiling your whole site based on one page, you know? And so if your site and your pages all kind of like feel good, they're fast, they are well written, like there's a robot basically going like yes or no to your site, you know, as a whole. And I think that's why a lot of people got like, you know, trashed with all these updates, because they're basically getting thumbs down because their sites are either all over the place or they're like very untrustworthy, or, you know, they've been poorly edited or they load incredibly slowly. Like, there's a multitude of factors that play into it. But I think if you focus on, you know, writing content that people are searching for, you write compelling titles that people want to click when they're in the Google SERPs, and your site loads instantly so you don't have a pogo sticking effect, meaning somebody clicks a link and they're like, when's this page gonna, all right, hit the back button.
Yeah.
You know, and they find something else. And then, like, even when they land on the page, like, it should look, this is a subjective thing, but it should kind of, like, feel professional, you know? I know you know what I'm talking about, but, you know, trying to explain it to somebody else, it's like, you know, I still see websites that look like they're from 1994, you know, and I still see like bad design, blurry logos and
weird fonts,
weird
background colors or just,
And it just feels like this is somebody's personal blog, not like somebody really cares about this and their and like what they're doing, or like it feels kind of just like that next level professionalism. And if you look at my pages and even your pages, like they don't look, they're not crazy. They don't have like crazy design. They're just like very easy to read.
Yeah, just simple, clean, get to the point kind of thing. And Google pays attention to that. What is like a full list of the tools that you use or that you would recommend to someone that wants a deep dive into doing like the keyword research, the audit, and then going into things like page speed?
Yeah, so Ahrefs is what I use.
And that's Ahrefs, right?
Yep. Okay. Yep. Or how's Andrew say it? Ahrefs?
Ahrefs.
Yeah. It's like Ahrefs. But from the company, it's Ahrefs is the is how they say it. The A is silent. I'll tell you, that's a $100 a month plugin. It's a $100 a month tool. It is not, and I don't want to say, I guess I just said the price, but who knows if they change the price at any time. Yeah, but yeah. It's not an inexpensive, tool.
But is this something that when you're doing your audit, you could pay for 1 month and harvest a bunch of data and do your audit and plan out your content for, year or something like that?
You certainly could. You could even do their $7 for 7 days trial and bulk research. I mean, you are limited in the amount of searches you can do on that trial, but you could get a lot done there.
Are you using that ongoing though? Are you using that to like see what your whole website's ranking all the time kind of thing?
Yeah, okay. We track every keyword in there because we do site. It has its own site audit tool. So like every single day it hits our site and makes sure that we have a good grade, you know, for it scans all our pages, which also helps break the cache and stuff for page speed. It's an ongoing expense for us because we do. I mean, I have four sites that use it. So it's lucrative. And honestly, it's like the tool that I wish I was using from day one. And I've used all of them. I've used Moz. I've used SEMrush, Ahrefs, obviously, you know, the old school Google one that like the ad planner or whatever it was, which is no longer like a good one to use. That's a big one that I pay for. If I like actually pull up my budget, I can like literally tell you the ones that I pay for, and I can tell you the ones that I don't pay for, meaning that they're free. I use for my actual website, I use WP Engine to host it. And it's because it's super fast and they have great customer support. I've been using them for many years. My sites never go down. I pay about $100 a month, which is for all of my websites, and I used to pay $600 a month, but because I use another plugin or another tool called Cloudflare, I was able to significantly drop that down because Cloudflare is a DNS manager and it allows me to cache things and do all kinds of stuff.
So people, when they go to your website, it shows a Cloudflare version or something to that effect instead of having to ping WP Engine every time? Okay.
Exactly. And obviously Cloudflare has a ton of servers all over the world and it just serves you whatever one's closest. And it's just like, it's free. Technically I pay for it because there's certain things like Argo and other services that I want, but I think I pay roughly like $80 a month for that, again, across all my websites. And I have, that's one, if I look specifically for SEO purposes, I use Imagify, which is an image compression plugin that is cloud-based. So I pay a monthly subscription. And basically every time you upload an image, it like sends it to their service, crushes it, sends it back, and it's like, you know, fully optimized.
Lately I've been using tinyjpeg.com to do that for at least the SwitchPod site because it's a Shopify site. So I can't really have a plugin like that. So I just, you know, make it the proper size, export it at whatever the best resolution is, run it through TinyJPEG, save 90% of the size, throw it up through there.
Totally, you could totally do that as well. And there's free versions of that, but Imageify is like a very aggressive one. And so I just paid for like the most aggressive like compression I can get. Because most of my, I mean, for on Swim University, 75% of my visitors are on a mobile device. So I'm like, you know, they don't really need to see like
the it doesn't need to be a high resolution image of the pool that they're going to scroll past quickly. Yeah,
exactly. And so on top of that, I have, what's that? WP Rocket is another one that I use for page speed. And that's kind of it for, like all things SEO and content wise. Like that's, and then, you know, I use Google Drive to do, you know, and Google Docs for writing content and stuff. Because, you know, I personally write all of my content on WordPress, as dumb as that is, because, you know, if you have anybody's familiar with WordPress, like you could lose the shit that you write on there. Yeah. So we switched over to Google Docs to do that. And especially when you're working with other people, it's good to have like the back and forth, real time editing and stuff. But yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, it's all of that adds up. And then I have ConvertKit as well for like getting emails and stuff, which is like probably the biggest expense that I have per month is ConvertKit. But yeah, that's, you know, it's probably like, I guess like a little less than $500 a month to run all of my websites.
You know? And your websites get, I mean, they get a lot of traffic. They're the backbone of your businesses. Getting the traffic to the website is how people click your affiliate links, is how they buy your products, you know, that sort of thing. So
that
seems like a negligible amount of money to pay for someone else. Maybe that's a little bit too much to have that much stuff going on, but they're,
you wouldn't pay that. Like that's all scaled up. Yeah. So that all of that stuff is, I mean, like for context, Swim University in May of 2020 got a little over 1 million unique visitors. So it's like, it's a lot of, I'm pushing a lot of like server stuff and they don't want me to be on the $100 a month thing. They want me to be on the $600 a month program.
Yeah.
But I'm like, no, I will cash the hell out of my website and make it incredibly fast.
What would you say to someone like me who switched to Squarespace?
I'd say, get off of it. I would say this. I tell people, if you're getting started and WordPress feels like, you know, way over your head, please go into Squarespace. It makes so much sense. But if you're trying to rank for things and you're trying to like run a legit SEO, like focused content business, you kind of have to be on your own thing. It doesn't have to be WordPress. It could be something like Stigmatic or, you know, another different CMS. But I mean, with WordPress, again, one of the pieces of control that I have that I think you don't have with Squarespace is you don't have page speed advantages.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they're structuring their code. You know, I don't know if they're, you know, I know how my like code is structured for, you know, H2s and H3s and H1s and like all of that stuff. I know what the code looks like. I'm 100% positive that Squarespace, along with other, you know, WordPress builders, they add a lot of dumpy code, you know, that's just slowing down your site and making it harder for Google to scan your shit, which is a detriment if that's what you're trying to do. Although, you know, there's a lot of other really, really slow sites that rank. It's not that you can't, but I like to be small and scrappy and fast because that's always going to win over the big guys. It's like, it's the one competitive advantage that I have is that, you know, it's a snappy site that's I have full control over. And so I would say switch back or at least go to something that you had control over, but you know what comes with that control is more work.
Yeah. And I mean, the reason why I switched years ago was just I didn't want to deal with that stuff anymore. I feel like it was getting out of the way. It was getting in the way of me even like making content or like changing my theme or WordPress is in a different state now than it was when I changed, like at least like theme and design wise and stuff like that. But like I was sick of changing my thesis theme like everyone was using back then. So I think I would definitely have to. It would be a big project to do that kind of thing. And I don't feel like I'm not pushing the kind of website traffic, but I may never push it if I don't get it onto a platform. You know, it's just like, it becomes, it's like a part of my business that I know is important, and I want to be able to help people that way with my website.
Yeah.
But I also don't want to have to switch to WordPress and like remake stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, it, that's what's held me back from switching back to WordPress.
All of your courses are served on what?
Teachable.
Okay. So you that's already third party. So I think that you could take your site, put it onto WordPress, do a content audit, you know, and really like re-optimize a lot of posts based on keyword research, and those courses would just be selling on autopilot. And I don't know if they are now or where they are now, but like so much more. And with I know it would be a lot of effort, but like it would be a lot of effort for like really hands-off type of, you know, I don't know. It feel to me that sounds like the funnest project I can think of. I swear to God, that sounds like I wish I had a project that meaty that I could sink my teeth into right now.
But I mean, you really like getting into the nitty gritty of like doing the content audits, doing the page speed, like
love it.
Yeah, I don't know. Really, I don't know what's wrong with you. I mean, I don't know.
That's fair. I mean, look,
yeah, it's just
I have a. You know, this is not a pitch or anything, but I have, you know, you just, all you gotta do is email me, but I have a WordPress theme that you can use based on all my stuff, you know, page speed for bloggers. If you need to learn all this stuff, like it's there. Or what a lot of people do, they buy my shit and then they just give it to somebody else to watch it and then implement.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Happens all the time. And I'm like, that's probably a good idea. You know, it's like same with even the SEO course I have, like, they're like, hey, you figure this out, you know, just follow what he does. And I've done that too for Facebook ads. Like, I have no interest in running Facebook ads as a person, but, you know, I've taken enough courses or at least bought stuff where I was like, you do this.
It's helpful if you have a business that's growing or stunted and you feel like this is a reason. And that's why I wanted to have you on to talk, is because I feel like I know the content treadmill, like, that you can get on and you just like keep putting stuff out, and then you like years go by and you're like, well, I made all this stuff, like, I don't have traffic, like, my email list isn't where it needs to be, and like, and to me, my website, my, you know, teaching arm is like a small part of my overall businesses that I run, but I also like want it to still be like a strong arm. I don't want like this flimsy little arm that like the rest of the body.
And it could be like a retirement plan, right? Even if you think of it that way, it's like, I think I'll never sell Swim University, and I say that, you know, not knowing what the future holds, but the goal is to retire with that paying me forever. As long as the pool still exists, I think it's good to go. And it's like, it requires,
like you said, it's quote unquote done. It's, with like continual updates you need to do. There's not like new, like there will be maybe new science or new products or like,
yeah.
And you know, but
you know, like, and like that's the website. And so it technically done. We're still doing weekly videos on YouTube, you know, and we're still embedding them in old posts, but I mean, I'm not doing them. And the team, like I have a couple of people in place, just like kind of like keeping that in control and moving, but I don't think it absolutely needs to happen that way. I just fear, like, it's because it's my flagship, it's like kind of like, ooh, I can't stop, but also I'm not the one, you know, on the hamster wheel constantly.
But you know what happens to stagnant water because of pools.
I
like
do.
You so what happens to stagnant websites?
Yeah, sorry, it just gets filled with
segue.
It gets filled with mosquito larvae. Yeah, it's
Which, if you have that problem, go to Swim University. And
there you go. There's a whole article, swimuniversity.com/mosquitoes, and we teach you how to do it. That's true, by the way.
So you've built Swim University and other websites, and you've monetized them mainly through affiliate marketing over the years, correct?
Yes.
Mainly. Until more recently, yeah.
Yes. And that was very good for a long time
until Amazon changed the percentages on you. Yeah,
they did. And you know what? You know, if it's like technically I lost like, what was like $150,000 to $175,000 in revenue from that. And again, I'm not going to see that until a year. But it's still pretty high You know what I mean? Like, if there's like me and two other people working on a thing, it's like it more than pays for all of our like salaries.
Yeah.
So it's like it's still a good living. And then like it has forced our hand to look at other monetization strategies, which are honestly way better. Affiliate marketing, I've always sort of treated as this is icing on the cake for mm-hmm. us. And it's not technically, it's still like a majority of our revenue, but I still believe that. And I'm working towards making it icing. And I mean, that's like really good icing. You know, it's like, it's not
like, there's way too much icing. Like
there's way too much icing on this cake, yeah. But who doesn't like that? So it's like, yeah, that's kind of the way I'm in my mind thinking about it, but it is still super helpful too. Like to people who, and the way that I do affiliate marketing, which is very sparse and minimal and very targeted. So like if you're reading a post that's about, I don't know, getting rid of algae or whatever, like there are products on there that are specifically for that purpose that I've used in my actual real life and have told customers to use. And they're like they're highlighted very big. And it's like, that's the product. And so like everything feels, and it's same with Wirecutter. Like, it feels like a very intentional affiliate site. No one would ever call it an affiliate marketing site,
mm-hmm. right? Because even like, though it's owned by Amazon now.
No, it's not. It's owned by New York Times.
I thought it was owned by Amazon. You're right. I'm thinking of a different one. Yeah, I'm thinking of a camera site. DP Review is a camera website, and Amazon bought them.
Really?
Probably because they recommended so many through affiliates. So they're like, we should probably just buy this so we're not leaking this money. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I was like, because I was about to say that's news to me, because I think Wirecutter is sort of like my North Star of like, it's like the most perfect affiliate site. And when you read about how they run it like a newspaper. It is like those products are actually reviewed and it's like kind of like Consumer Reports, you know?
Yeah. They really look at 10 or 15 vacuums to see which one is the best.
Right, and they Roomba. Take pictures of them in their own studio, and they like, it's very intentional, which is kind of how I look at our sites as well.
And so if affiliate marketing is going down, at least because of Amazon forcing your hand, like what are the other ways that are best working for you right now to monetize a very niche website of people that they don't need to be a fan of you. They might only visit your website once. How do you turn them into a customer?
Well, one of the things that I could do is I could switch away from Amazon to, say, Walmart or to, there are other e-commerce sites out there that sell pool chemicals that are offering me way higher commission rates. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But Amazon's still Amazon. So right now I'm kind of like testing whether it's worth kind of the move or not. And so I have a whole post on that on MoneyLab, but I'm still kind of in the testing process, and it's probably going to be a whole year of testing before I'm like, you know, all right, we switch over or some things or other things or whatever.
Have you thought about letting the audience decide and just see what happens?
Like, yeah, I mean, it's part of the test.
Personally, I use Genius Link and use Choice Pages to like be like, you can go to B&H or you can go to Amazon or, you know.
Well, that's what we're using. So like one of our tests is using Genius Link's Choice Pages. Another test is using our plugin that allows you to add multiple buttons. So like if you look at Wirecutter, they say like you could buy this on Amazon or REI or Amazon or Walmart or whatever. Mm-hmm.
And so you're using Lasso, right? That you're using to have multiple buttons.
Yep. And we're just seeing what happens and kind of measuring each page individually and just going like, okay, like, cause it could be like Amazon, even though they have a lower commission rate, just may earn more revenue.
More conversions.
Yeah, exactly. People just buy flat screen TVs along with their pool shock. I don't know. Yeah. So that's obviously one way, but the thing that surpassed affiliate marketing this year has been we had a book. Our first book that we ever came out with was called The Hot Tub Handbook. It was 55 pages, all custom designed, all written by me. I put it up for $24 through Gumroad. And that's been the book we've been selling for like a long time. And then we recently updated it. And so now it's 155 pages and it's way more words, not like all designed or whatever. And that we ended up increasing the price a bit to $29. And then we were running those. That was a product. And then our another product was a hot tub or the pool care handbook. So now we have a pool one. That was 300 pages, both the same price. And then last year, the year before, I decided to add a video course. So there's like the pool care handbook video course, the hot tub handbook video course. And they were four separate products and you could bundle them together. And now they're kind of all, now there's only two products. And one of them is the pool care handbook and video course. And the other one is the hot tub handbook and video course. And they're each of them are $49 a piece. And that is a majority of where our income comes from. We send out a weekly email, you know, teaching pool care and giving you pool care information. And we pitch the book in those emails and right away. And they, that converts really well. We also, all of our, we mentioned the product in all of our videos, which get embedded on the website or plus are on YouTube as well. That works incredibly well. And then we have like ads, you know, quote unquote ads for our own product in the middle of posts, depending on like where we decide to put them, and at the bottom of posts. And those actually convert really well too, because they're, again, it's like more of an impulse thing. So we have like three places where people can, it's just really like, I don't want to say like beating people over the head, but it's just like, hey, we have this very specific product. And so at that point, you know, it just becomes very obvious what to buy.
Yeah. And I think that it's making me think about how, you know, like I want to have a lot of different products and I think there are a lot of different things I can help people with, but they need to be so specific to the issue that they either landed on the website for or are watching a thing about. And so I think what I've kind of planned out is like, I want an audio course. I want a lighting course. So that when I talk about audio equipment, I have a thing that's directly tied to that. And if I'm talking about a piece of lighting equipment,
yeah,
I have a course that's specifically about lighting. And I think that having that kind of specificity with your offer and mm-hmm. putting it in those places in front of people, as opposed to for years, I've just had the like make better videos course. And that just kind of is covering everything.
Yes.
And it's more expensive, like you said, versus having these very targeted, very specific products that fit more into what people are, you know, looking for or currently consuming from me.
Yeah.
To do that.
Yeah. And ours is kind of like we're like looking at it from a lower standpoint, because like obviously with video, I think it's a little bit more. Well, first of all, I think it's kind of job related. Like you could argue that it's like either a hobby or you're doing it as a job, right? Mm-hmm. Like no one's doing it out of necessity, I don't think, right? So for example, Swim University, you own a pool and that's the good part, but like you have to clean it and you have to take care of it. And so it's very hard for me to go, well, we're going to teach you how to take care of your pool for $300. It's like, well, dude, you're going to teach me how to vacuum a pool and I'm going to spend $300 to do that? It's like, no, it's insane, right? It would be like me saying like, I'm going to teach you how to clean your house for $400 on this video course. You're like, I'm not going to pay $400 to learn how to clean my own house. I have to do it. It's not like I enjoy doing it or that I do it and my life is that much better where it's worth that much. And so we are doing like we have the flagship courses in place and now we're looking at adding supplemental smaller, you know, courses that either are upsells when you buy the normal one or very targeted in a post. So like if we have a post about pool opening and we have an entire product that is just about pool opening, then that's the product that we're going to pitch on that specific post because it's the most relevant. But then once you go through the buying process, you may want to upgrade or add onto your cart this other course that's about all of pool care because maybe you found us, you know, one way and you just need different entry points, but you all end up in the same place, which is just like Swim University is a place where you learn how to take care of your pool. And it just depends on where you are and what your current need is that we want to serve to you.
And that goes back to what you were talking about, the book Traction, of like, what does your business actually do? And your people probably end up on your website because they're trying to maybe buy something, like just buy something to fix my problem with my pool, which affiliate marketing is a perfect way for you to benefit from helping them in that way.
Yep.
It might be education. Like I'm trying to think of other smaller products that you could do Like how to hire a pool guy or like find a pool guy. You know, like, I don't know, whatever it is, the main problem that your audience is having.
Yep.
And we know that your product should be, right? Yeah. Cause you know how the traffic. Yeah,
exactly. So we know that, like, oh, a lot of people are searching this thing and they're coming to this page. Probably makes sense to build a product just around that, you know? So, and it depends, like the product could just be the flagship. That could just be the, you know, if it's like, you know, are we going to do an entire post or are we going to do a separate product on water chemistry? It's like, no, that's part of the main course, and it's cheap enough to where if you want to learn pool chemistry, that's the product. But if it's super abstract, like maybe it's it's again just pool opening or closing, or you have an algae problem that's very specific, like that could be sort of a satellite smaller product that leads you into the bigger one later down the road, or maybe never. But you know, again, it's like it's just hitting people where they are and what their current need is, and using your website to figure that out or asking.
Would you start a new website anytime soon, or are you done? You want to like keep working on the ones you have?
I really want to keep working on the ones I have. In fact, I really want to like put my time and effort into Brew Cabin, because that's exactly, I mean, that's what I do for fun. Mm-hmm. And I would love to, and Money Lab to me is a fun, like I, you know, these are all my interests. Swim University, I'm like, I'm done. Like I'm personally, I'm like,
I've. Do you have a pool? I don't think you do.
No. I mean, I may at one point in my life or like a hot tub or something. Like I know how much work they are. So it's like the irony is probably I would buy a pool and then hire a pool guy to take care of it. Like that would be the
and give them your products. And
yeah, I'd be like, here, learn from this.
Here's my website, how to do your job. Yeah.
He's probably like, I was looking up the site from university, I was figuring this out. I'm like, that's my site, man.
You're like, did you click my affiliate link? Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta click my affiliate link. I get paid. So like I know I don't own a pool. I don't, you know, it's really just not a lot of pools in Colorado, to be honest. But yeah. I think no, it's a site that I love and it's my baby. Like I will always have it and people are going to work on it. And I do, you know, I still work on it. I've done page speed stuff. I will update, you know, things need to be updated. I work with everybody. But I'm pretty much hands off. For Money Lab, I am 100%. That's all me. Like everything you see, everything you read, every picture you see, like I do literally everything. Except when we were doing the podcast, Steph, was the one planning and, you know, helping me record them and all that stuff. And then Brew Cabin is like, you know, and now I have Lasso. I'm like, most of my time is in Lasso development actually, and all the marketing stuff. So everything you see on the Lasso website and the way the plugin looks and all everything, it's just, that's all me and Andrew. And so that's taking up a lot of my time. And then, I would really like to start, Brew Cabin again and kind of like being more a part of that. Not that I'm writing content, because that's the weakest part of my skill set. And so I will always outsource writing, but I will probably end up doing videos for it and, you know, planning and design and all that kind of stuff. So that's my plan. But I don't want to start I don't have any ideas to start any new site. So,
yeah. I mean, that's where it comes down to for me, where, I mean, you just described all the different businesses you have running, and I'm in a similar boat with multiple businesses with SwitchPod and my client business. And then this is like the third place thing. And so it comes down to like, if I don't make content, then this business can't succeed. Or if I'm not the one that goes through and audits the website like I've been doing, or wants to redesign it to have better pillar posts to help people better, then I can't.
Yeah.
Then nothing happens, like, because the people that are working on my businesses are doing the stuff that brings in more money.
Yes.
And so it's like, do I want another project? I don't know, but I've been putting effort into making videos and posts for 9 years. So like, let's format it better. Let's make it so that in 5 years from now, it's actually bringing in more. There's actually funnels in place that are helping people better, and I'm making more money through affiliate income or products I sell. And like you said, like, you don't know how well my courses do now. Like, I honestly don't know how people find them. Like that, that's how I feel about my business, is like, where did you find that? Like, how did you even get access to that? Like, obviously I put it in the navigation and it's in old videos and posts and stuff, but it's just like, what made you decide? Like, I want to email everybody that buys like right away and it'd be like, why did you choose to buy my thing about video editing for Final Cut Pro?
Like, I mean, I bought it. I think it's because like trust, like if you find your site, it's packed with information. Like you learn, I mean, like you indirectly just through your, like your book and just reading stuff on your site, like taught me now I can't remember what it's called. The golden triangle. Is that what it's called? No. The exposure triangle.
Exposure triangle. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, I didn't know anything about that. And then I learned like, you know, ISO and f-stops and all that stuff. It was like through your site, you know. Yeah. It was like, yeah, and it's like, and if anybody asked me, or dude, the reason I have the same mic and the DBX, I learned how to do all the settings from your YouTube channel. So like, why wouldn't I buy the things from you? Like you've proven. I mean, I know you personally, but also like I trust you to know what you're doing. And if you think something is cool or you think something is useful, then I'm probably going to buy it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that makes sense. I think that it is the trust building game. It's the long tail of like someone following you for however long and then like going to your site and buying the thing. And it just, I feel like looking at my website after however many years now, it's been almost 5 years of doing only video related stuff. It just feels so random looking at the archive of like so many gear things, so many random videos of like, I would go to an event like NAB or VidCon or whatever. And I'd like put together a video and it was like, this doesn't matter at all.
Yes,
like why did I do it in the first place? B, it gets no traffic or views anymore. Like let's hide it.
I've done that for so, I mean, like I have a pool care rat video. Why did I do that? Like,
it's incredible.
Well, because I thought it was going to, you know, it did go viral.
The only things I know about pool care are from the pool care rat video.
Yeah, right.
I don't have a pool, but
no, that's all you need to know. It's everything, but it's like, it's silly. It's actually not on my website. It's not there. Because it's like, it doesn't belong there. No one needs it. I mean, it buys.
Can you put it on like your 404 page or something? I mean, you probably don't have any 404s, but
no, I don't. But I do have a 404 page, and it's like, sorry, the pool's closed, and it's like a sad family. It's like, but then like that, yeah, it links to other things. I guess I could. I didn't even think of that. But yeah, I very much try not to have 404 pages. Like everything that comes through on a search console, I knock out.
Or maybe just like the 10th time someone comes to your website, it just autoplays like full screen.
Yeah,
full
just volume. Like, yeah, good. Yeah. Doesn't get anybody to buy anything, but
no. But I think that, I mean, like I said before we started recording, I've been consuming what you've been putting out on Money Lab because you talk a lot about like the things you've tried, the content audits, the like, where do I put my affiliate links on my pages and like,
yeah,
how do I put my products into autoresponder email sequences? And like, oh, that doesn't actually work. Just email them right away and be like, hey, I have this product. Or
yeah.
And on pages.
But, you know, but I will say that I am such a, and maybe this resonates with you, but I try not to overcomplicate things. Sometimes I'll go down rabbit holes where I'm like, you know, I was talking with, you know, Brendan Dunn and just going down this like hardcore email rabbit hole of like, if this, then that. And it's like, dude, it's so cool. And I know it works, but, and I tried really hard and I just get to a point where I'm like, I really want this to be easy for my sanity because God forbid ConvertKit changes one thing and I have to go and like, redo everything. And so, and that's what just happened to me a bunch of times. And I'm just like, you know what, what's the easiest thing to do? Which is like, you just give them a bunch of free content and then you pitch them your product and they, you know, I don't really concentrate hard on conversion numbers as long as they're like buying and no one's returning a bunch of stuff and it's like people are genuinely happy with like what we're doing and excited for like new videos and stuff. I'm good. It's a good life, you know. It's not we're not squeezing every single like dime out of everyone. We're just doing what we think there's like some moral, you know, moralities to it, and there's like and again, simplicity. It's really, that's what it's all about. And I think like we tend to just overcomplicate things as internet marketers, and it's like right. fun. It's fun to do that as humans, but ultimately like just drives you crazy.
I think anyone that's listened this far has or gone down this rabbit hole of thinking about their website, their content, all the stuff that they've been putting out. I think it just, it's worth it to maybe put a pause on putting new stuff out for a little bit, or get ahead of schedule, or whatever you need to do to feel like you need to keep feeding the algorithm and the beast of your audience and
yeah.
and the internet, and just look through everything you've done and see how you can make it a better experience for people, and see how then you'll be rewarded by like more search traffic and
yeah.
more people being introduced to your brand. So that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to just like look at my website, you know, partially it was just coronavirus and everything going on. It's mm-hmm. like, not that I have free time because I have other stuff going on, but it's like, this is a perfect excuse to be like, I'm not putting anything out right now. And then yeah. instead I'm going to go behind the scenes. I'm going to go behind the curtain and like
and optimize,
make this a better experience for people, all the new people that come to my site, and just kind of get rid of the stuff that doesn't need to be there anymore. And I'll
tell you this too. Like I don't think I wrote about this at Money Lab or even talked about it. But I deleted, I think 70% of the videos on my Money Lab channel recently. And I started seeing growth. So yeah. I don't
just
I
on
don't,
your YouTube channel, you just like made them hidden. Just
no, I deleted
unlisted
them.
Or just deleted them.
Yeah. Like I had back when I started Money Lab, I used to do this whole thing where I would, like it was, based on The Martian, where he would like turn the camera on and do like a journal in front of the
yeah.
camera.
Yeah.
And I would probably do like, you know, 7 or 8 videos per post, and there's all gone. You know, I went and looked at a few that I'm like, did I actually teach somebody something? And if I did actually teach how to do something, I kept it, retitled it, renamed yeah. it, new thumbnail, you know,
yeah.
and all of a sudden, like it started growing kind of on its own without adding any new content. It's all just been like, kind of like being very crystal clear on like what Money Lab, the channel is, because things can be different. Like, you know, obviously SUME University is about, and Money Lab itself is such a, I feel like it's a very scattered website, but I love it. And it's kind
but
of,
but I think purpose. Even in the name, like lab, you're like, you're experimenting, you're trying things. It's you yeah. documenting that, like that's different than like a resource based website, like SUME University or what I feel like sure. I'm trying to build.
Yeah. And I mean, there's an entire post on Money Lab where I made a rap album in 30 days. And it's like, it kind of doesn't apply to most people, but I think it's, it fits well enough, and obviously I'm not doing SEO anything. It's all word of mouth, but I, you know, we see consistent sales in products with almost, I mean, I would say like zero SEO
yeah.
for the most part. And it's because of trust. It's like I put out enough content and people know me personally from the site and just go like, I trust what this guy's doing. He probably seems like he knows his shit, or at least he's been doing it long enough to know what works and what doesn't work.
Yeah.
And so like, yeah, I want to see what his course is all about. And I, you know, his sites load very fast. How does he do that? Here's yeah. how I do it. Like, here's yeah. the secret, you know? So it's just like, yeah. I mean, I still go back and forth on Money Lab, like whether it should be like a very SEO. I'm like, I know SEO. I know how to do it. Why don't I just yeah. do it? You know, it's like, cause I don't want to do it.
Sometimes you want something to be a playground and you don't want it to be
yeah.
work or the classroom. You want it to just be fun. Like.
Exactly. But the YouTube channel will be different. You know, we'll treat that the same with the podcast. We treat it like an ongoing thing, but make it very easy on ourselves that we don't have to do anything crazy or do any like hardcore planning. Cause it's like stuff we live and breathe. So it's not like, I know like with videos and stuff, it can be like, I think about the DBX video that you did and I'm just like, wow, the amount of work that it took to like educate somebody just from the visual point of view of putting that together, it's a lot of work, you know, especially when you add a lot of lower thirds or you add stuff in it that like this button does this and whatever,
yeah,
like
arrows and
those,
things, yeah.
those animations. It's like, that's a lot of work, but I'm kind of more, and this is so against my actual beliefs as a person, because I do believe in, you know, high quality, you know, just really high quality shit. But when it comes to making stuff and growing, I'm like, dude, get your iPhone out and show me how to like set up a DBX. And I don't need an intro yeah. out there. Like, just show me what you got. And I think if you have a good enough personality and you're good at teaching things and saying things, you're going to make a video that ranks. You know, plus it's all about the thumbnail. It doesn't even matter if it's in the video.
Yeah, I think that YouTube's a whole other beast of stuff. Yeah. And I'm talking with Tom Martin. I actually just recorded it before this. I think it might come out after this episode, though, about YouTube and all the stuff to get stuff to rank. But I think it just comes down to, like, is the video valuable? Yeah. That alone is going to impact your watch time, which is the one thing that YouTube really cares about.
Right.
You know, did they click on the thumbnail and did they watch it? And, and so, like, I try to run that through all of the videos I make, like, try to make it as interesting and informative and not any longer than it has to be. And for whatever reason, like, that was one of the first videos on my YouTube channel. It's probably in the first, like, 5 or 10 or something like that. But I still get random people that I've, like, haven't talked to in 5 years. They're like, dude, I just found your DBX video.
And like, it's never changed.
So many people like,
the product's been, like, the same ever since.
Yeah, like, I've thought about that for that. And then the Scarlett 2i2, like, USB interface, that's, like, I think, my most watched video. It is, I think it has over 500,000 views or something. But, like, I could make a new one. They do have a new version of it. But, like, I feel like the video's kind of done. Like, I was, that was, like, the first video I ever filmed on my YouTube channel. It's not anywhere near the quality standards. I am so boring in that video. But, like, it did, it does its job, and it has views and it has an affiliate link. Like, it's
what
done.
Else you need?
Move on to the next thing. So, I don't know. I kind of want to, I just want to get my website to that point where I feel like my website is done with, like, I've taught video. The only new things now are software updates and gear that comes out. And the fundamentals, the techniques, the things I can actually teach you, my courses, all that stuff is done. And I just don't feel like it's there. And so the last 5 years, I feel like I would have done that and then get on the content hamster wheel instead of, like, making a bunch of content to try to, like, stay relevant. But I feel like I have a baseline of audience and clout or respect or,
you
know,
sure,
like you said, or people have, trust me, I know what I'm talking about. And now it's just like, okay, how can I help them better with my website? And SEO is a big part of that. For if I'm going to go through the work of updating it and making it refreshed, I just want to make sure I was titling things right, knowing how to do the research, doing the H tags, like images, sizes, small, so page speeds fast, and just, like, all the technical stuff if I'm going to go through and do the hard work of going through it anyway. So
I mean, that's really all it is.
All it is, it's just days and weeks and months and years of our life working.
But then you have this, like, wonderful piece of, like, you have this wonderful asset.
Yeah, and I feel like that's what I don't have with my website right now, is an asset. I feel like it's been more of a journal or a blog than an asset. And so that's what I'm working to change.
Good idea.
Well, I want you to recommend the stuff that you've talked about in this episode. I want you to recommend Lasso, because if you do have a WordPress site and you have a lot of affiliate links, like, that is the plugin that I wish I could have on Squarespace. Because I do have so many links. We use, like, Genius Link so we can track stuff and update it if stuff goes out of stock. But talk about Lasso, your other products that kind of fit into what we've been talking about.
Yeah, so Lasso, getlasso.co, is a WordPress plugin that I've been working on for many years now. Probably, I mean, honestly, since, like, 2014, but it is finally, like, in its, like, perfectly polished package. And it is, you know, if you ever go into Wirecutter and you see all those, like, display boxes that Wirecutter does, that's what Lasso does. But we also have all these other techniques that we threw in there, like, I mean, one of the techniques that I've been using a lot is, like, so, you know, Genius Link, if you have Amazon products, it checks to see if things are out of stock and stuff.
Yeah.
We do that too. Except, like, we filter it and then you can, like, change one line and it just, like, updates across your entire website. And the other thing you can do is this thing called keywording, where other plugins have it, but ours, you can, like, let's say you, you know, you have the DBX, right? And you've, I mean, this is probably a bad example, but it's like, let me use that example. Let me use, like, a, you know, your camera of choice, right?
Yeah.
And so you put your camera of choice as an affiliate link within Lasso, and then you can type in a keyword and it will go find all of the mentions of that keyword across your website. And with a flip of a switch, you can turn that keyword into an affiliate link. And then you could, like, and then obviously, like, you could dismiss some. So, like, oh, I don't want to, that's too many links for this post. Like, you just dismiss it. But then you keep it as a keyword. So, like, when you create new posts, it's going to find those opportunities for you. And then you'll just be able to turn them on or off. And that's just, like, I mean, like, we're just trying to make the, like, the kind of a, the affiliate marketing tool that we want it for all our whole lives. And that's been fun. It's been fun, stressful, and like we're just trying to make literally the best product in the world. And it's like that's our marketing strategy, is just make it so fucking good that we don't need to really market it. It's like
everyone
like,
will talk about it.
Yeah, they'll just want it because there is nothing like it, and we'll obviously like exceed our competition. But other than that, you know, at moneylab.co, I have a bunch of courses. I have the Page Speed for Bloggers course, which if you look at my websites, they're crazy fast. I literally tell you exactly how to do that with code, without code, all that stuff. SEO for Bloggers, which is my SEO course. I have an affiliate marketing course as well. And I have my WordPress theme is called Carbonate. And it's basically, if you look at any of my sites, it's that site. It's just I turned it into something that's more customizable and super fast. And you can find that at, I don't know if anybody gets, it's like, I have this like little inside joke. It's the website is BUY Carbonate, which is how you raise alkalinity in a pool. it's the active ingredient.
It's a joke that only you get.
It's the active ingredient in baking soda, bicarbonate. But it's BUY. I don't know. My twisted sense of humor. Or my dad humor. That's like more like dad humor, right?
Yeah, that's more of a dad joke.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, like Money Lab, I also have Asana for Bloggers, which is my oldest course that just got updated recently. Teach you how to like create an editorial calendar and manage it with a team or not. So yeah, that's like kind of all my things.
But I think if you own a pool, yeah, segment of my audience owns a pool. I don't know. I'd have to survey to find out, but you never know. And I think just people checking out the things that you've made is like a way to see how to build a website over many years, how to help people in like product recommendations and products that you make. And I think it would help people to go check out your stuff to get their brain, you know, the wheels spinning. Like how can I turn whatever my interest is, like whatever the random thing I'm interested in, how can I make an asset of a property on a website that would help people in this way, but also help me monetarily. So it's a long process and you don't have to be like a personality. Like you don't have to be the face of something. I think nowadays a lot of people feel like they have to be an influencer or whatever. Yeah. But like, if you're not built that way, if you don't want to be that, you don't have to be. Like, you can not be the face of something and still make a really profitable brand like you have. Or band, if you're into that.
Or band.
If you want to make
rap, true.
Because it's fine too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, cool. Yeah. Thank you, Matt. Thanks for talking with me for so long about all this stuff. I really appreciate
it. Anytime.
So if you made it this far into the episode, you're probably a little overwhelmed. I know I definitely was when I finished this conversation with Matt, because there's a lot of work that goes into doing what we talked about in this episode, to go through all of the years of stuff that you've put out on the internet to figure out what is even worth keeping up anymore. You know, you might have to delete stuff or hide stuff from the internet that you put time and effort and energy into years ago that just doesn't apply anymore, is out of date, or is hurting you in the search engine rankings. So it's a lot of work to do this. It's a lot of work to go back through and audit your content. But if you're willing to put in the effort, put in the energy to make sure that your website, your brand, your presence online is a good experience for people and there's no fluff in it and it's always up to date and can help people the best way possible, not only will you be helping all the people that show up on your website randomly, but it should also help you rank better and it should lead to more people showing up on your website in long tail from Google and using SEO. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. Let me know what you think of this type of content. I know it's not directly related to video production, editing, publishing stuff on YouTube, but I do think this kind of conversation is helpful for people that are trying to build a personal brand or they're trying to build their business. It's important to still have a website and have that website rank well. It'll help you grow. It'll help you reach more people, make more sales, and that will help you earn the living you want to earn. That's what this is all about. So hope you enjoy this episode, and I will have you be listening in the next episode. Cheers.